Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelley.
Hey Shelley, how are ya?
I'm all right, been a busy week. We're getting to the end of the season. I'm doing a lot of random stuff on the hill. Hauling a lot of fencing at this time of year right now. So
that's always a good time.
You know what? Actually, you know what? I really enjoyed it. I have a really nice work crew that I'm with. Like, a lot of the staff that I work with are awesome people. So you just have a headphone in. I'm just singing as I go. And they're just really great people. So it's actually been taking, you know, something that could otherwise be a chore and making it a good time. And also, like, I like my boss, as you know. So the Lashinator, right. The Lashinator has been good to me.
Lashinator. Sweet. Awesome. Well, we just got winter again today. Yeah. Actually, it started last night. It's been spring weather. Motorbikes have been out, and now it's cold and snowy.
Yeah. As my mom says, up and down like a bride's nightgown. Yeah, same here.
Wow. That's what your mom said. That's nice.
Well, she's an interesting lady. We'll go into that. That's right. Another whole podcast. So.
Okay.
So speaking of the finality of that statement, we are at finals.
We are. Yes, we are. We are in Saalbach, Austria.
Yes, it's the, so we had the 11th women's slalom. I can't believe it was only 11th. You know, like, it's a lot though, considering you have speed races, you have all, and it's such a condensed season. There's still debates over what's happening with those seasons and how condensed they are. However, I have to say, I enjoy finals. I really do.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's got that little extra oomph to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is only the top, 25? Is it 26?
Well, I think it's 25, but it's just one of those things where I also really enjoyed the fact that with finals, it's kind of, it's the weather that is always very interesting at this time of year.
Yeah, it is true.
As we were just saying, and I mean, these conditions are interesting indeed. The surfaces that racers like are hard and hard and hard, and this is soft spring conditions. For these conditions, you have to add a lot of salt and or fertilizer to the hill, depending on what you result you want and the temperatures. And there was apparently a ton of salt being thrown on this puppy.
Yeah, well, you kind of need it to maintain the integrity of the race run, right? So gotta do it.
Exactly. Absolutely. What did you, so I'm gonna say that the course name is Uli Meyer. The start altitude is 1,279 meters. I know, right? And the finish altitude is 1,060 meters, giving a vertical drop of 219 meters. Oh, we know Karen. Yeah, USA first set, 67 turning gates, 68 gates. And then we have Sweden. Jörgen Nordlund is 68 turning gates, 70 gates. So, I mean, we know that it was partly cloudy. Spring conditions are hard snow. And basically where you were, depending on shade and if it were first or second run. Temperature starts 6 degrees and 7 degrees, warm temperature. So we got some spring skiing in there. That means those boots are going to be in the snow, so they get harder so that you can have a little bit more oomph out of them.
I saw boots in the snow. I saw legs getting covered in snow. Mm-hmm. I saw the sunscreen getting put on. Yeah. Did you know we had a Canadian TD for this, for the finals, for the slalom?
Yeah. Lisa Ferguson, right?
Yeah. So that's awesome. Represent. So that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But on a sad note, the name of the run, Uli Meyer, she was actually a friend of mine from the Austrian ski team. And she won the Super G at the 1991 World Championships, but she actually died in 1993 in a pretty horrific crash in a World Cup race. So that run is named after my friend Uli Meyer.
Aww. I mean, great legacy, but terrible story.
Terrible story. Yeah. Did you know Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born around that area, just southwest of Salzburg is the location of Saalbach?
Sure. Can you name me Mozart concerto?
Amadeus, 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 Amadeus. Oh, 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 Amadeus. No?
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the race.
I thought that was pretty good.
Obviously, Wendy's knowledge of classical music is somewhat, let's say, limited, to be nice. All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Back to the race. I said the word MDS. Yes.
Okay, first set. What'd you think?
Well, to me, the terrain wasn't all that challenging, of course.
Oh my God, so easy.
It's so easy. Such a gentle slope. There was some rain. The snow was a little bit corn snowy-ish. It's mild. The course was salted, but it's still spring around, right? Mm-hmm. It's a spring feeling to the competition.
Yeah, I would have to say that I didn't think that the first set by Karin was really super hard. I mean, obviously she's Schifrin's coach in particular, so she's gonna be setting for her athlete. I don't think it really mattered though. I mean, Schifrin did very well in this race. When it comes to these easier hills, it's setter's choice to make it how difficult they want.
Well, Karin said, of course, to me it was a straighter course than the second one.
Yes.
So technically not as challenging in my opinion, mm-hmm. but a race course is a race course, and it was Schifrin's, 29th birthday a couple days prior, so she may as well win.
Well, yeah, I mean, she might as well. The interesting thing is that six people still didn't finish the first run, and I think that's mostly due to the fact that a lot of people have a really hard time with spring conditions and salted snow. Salted snow is a very different surface to ski on than even just hard compact ice. It's got a more of a slippery quality to it that is definitely one of those things that's less forgiving. Even if you get on the inside edge a little bit, you're toast. Like, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it is a different feel, right? Mm-hmm. So the athlete's got to get used to that different feel from the hard, like, icy, cold feeling of the snow to this smoosh stuff.
Yeah, it's almost a little bit different to dig into. I don't know how quite to describe it, but when you're skiing on salted snow, it's the purchase on the snow is less forgiving even than on ice, I find.
Yeah, I agree. It's a different way to ski. And then what if there's more salt here and less salt there? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Different conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously those six competitors had an issue. Popovich, you know, like, she went down. It was not a happy time for her, not looking good. And she did partially tear her MCL, I think it was, or
tore something.
And the thing is, it didn't. She partially tore her ACL and she had a sprain as well. So
right.
There you go.
And you can see when it would happen partway through that turn, she just got all literally bent this way and that way. And doesn't take much to get a little tear like that.
Yeah, it's definitely always one of those things where when you watch a fall and it looks a little awkward, you're really wondering not about breaks, but about strains. And it's anyway, mm-hmm. So we wish her the best recovery. And it's just, yeah, it sucks. Sucks. Can't say anything else.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All right. Yep. Second set resulted in our current podium. I'm just going to go through that right mm-hmm. now. We had Anna Sven Larsen in third. Mina Federst-Holtmann in second from Norway. Obviously, Sweden first, Norway second. And then Michaela Schifrin, USA, comes back. The Schiff, not shocking. I mean, she is the slalom queen. We know that she's probably not going to be racing any of the speed disciplines. We were wondering if she was going to race GS as well. And that's to see for tomorrow or the next day as we cover. So, yeah.
That's right. So that was her 60th slalom victory. That's just pretty big numbers. Her 97th win.
Yeah, it's just, at this point, it's just unstoppable, right? So the only person who's going to stop this is when she just decides to quit.
Yeah.
Like, she'll still be, this is one of those athletes that as a masters racers could probably beat still half the World Cup field if she's still in shape.
Yeah, that's right. Well, she won by half a second. And you know what? They were talking to her about her, the numbers of win and this, that, and the other. And she said, you know what? The numbers are an honor. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's a really cool way to say I'm like setting records all over the place. She's saying it's an honor. And I thought that was really cool. But I mean, she's a cool chick. So
yeah, she seems to have a level head on her shoulders. And yeah, she's like kind of pretty. She's kind of really awesome. She's also got a good attitude. She's got everything.
Yeah.
Like, she's so good. You can't even be jealous. Like, you're just hoping for the best for her. You're like, I hope things continue to go well.
And yeah, so likable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely got the, what they call it, Riz.
Ugh. Riz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, charisma. They call it Riz now. We're old.
Oh, maybe out east.
Mm-hmm. No, ask your daughter about it.
Okay, I will. I will later. So it was really exciting, like for Anna Sven Larsson, so from Sweden. So she's gotten fifth, third, first, fifth. She was first after the first run. Mm-hmm. So she ended up being 0.63 behind. So she did lose that margin. And she did make quite a mistake about halfway down, recovered. But I think that's the section where she lost her her lead going into that second run.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, like, I mean, we've always said the Swedes in particular, Sven Larsson, like, they're kind of like bulls in china shops. They're super strong, ready to go. Mm-hmm. As soon as they get into those turnier courses, it works against them. So I think,
well, her coach set the course.
I know, which is why I was actually quite surprised, because I was
come
like,
on, oh, coach.
Yeah, set it even straighter, dude.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, so she came down, and I was a little surprised by the turnier set and like the choice of the coach to do so. And then at the same time, when she came down, kind of like that ability to get on the left ski better than the right, just again kind of made her line a little late. And I think she got a little twisted on that weird salty surface, and she had said that she didn't really like the spring snow as much. So yeah, it was a thing.
Well, she needs to start winning early in the season then, so she doesn't have to put pressure on herself at the end of the season.
Okay.
Mina. So she was 0.54 out. She was eighth after the first run and moved all the way up to second.
Mm-hmm.
And her run, it was just so smooth, so clean. She was totally in the rhythm. It didn't even look super fast. She just looked like she was in, you know, her head was in it. She was just going. It was a really nice, solid run. She did podium in 2022, but exciting.
Well, her run was almost like a second and a quarter faster than Schifrin's, actually.
There you go.
So, I mean, she really nailed that. And I think it's also the fact that she took a little bit more of a riskier line, but still was on that outside ski. And she got those angles and just accelerated really at the top of the arc. It was really nice to see. I mean, also the fact that she started just that few, the few racers later, I think might have made a difference between also the grooves in the snow, because those last couple of racers really started to groove up the course.
Yeah, well, she did start number 20. And moved up to eighth, and then from eighth to second. That is her third career podium, so look out for her for next year.
Yeah, we know a couple of people that will be happy about that. So, yeah, I mean, do we want to then move over to the men, or do you have anything else to say about this race?
I'd like to talk about our Canadian athlete who raced. So it is
why don't you just cut me off before I even ask, honestly? It's been a whole season, and we're getting finals, and I still haven't learned.
That's okay. You'll get it. Still a couple more days to go. So Allie Newmar came seventh. She was in fourth after the first run. To me, she skied it safe. She skied it solid. No major dramatic mistakes or anything, but just kind of holding a little bit too tight, I think. I needed to just let it run a little bit more.
Do you think her conservative skiing cost her everything?
Well, I think for that run, I'd like to see a little more balls out approach. It's the last day of the season. You're in fourth. You got to go for it with everything you got, right? And so I think to me, it was just a solid, safe ski, and I'd rather see her being on the edge a little bit more.
No, I agree with that. I 100%. Mm-hmm.
So another one of our Canadians who loved this race back in 1971.
Oh, my God.
Betsy Clifford.
Right.
So she won the overall slalom globe back in 1971. Yes, I was born. No, I was not racing there.
That was 27 years later, Allie Nullmeyer was born.
There you go. Oh, there you go. Bessie Clifford leading the way for us Canadians for the slalom globe overall.
Woo! Nice. Woo. All right. Wow, so off we go to the men's GS.
You know what I like about the finals is it really brings out even more of the public to come and watch. The atmosphere is super exciting. And they had people lined up and down the course in addition to it being packed at the bottom.
Well, the nice thing also about this course is it's not so steep that they can't hike up it,
Valid.
And then secondly, it's a GS, so it's also not as long to hike up. So like maybe you could do it, Wendy. The Come course on. Name on this one is Schneekristall or Zwartefer. It is 1,510 meters. Finish altitude is 1,060 meters. Vertical drop is 450 meters. Their first course setter was from Switzerland, Helmut Krug, with 56 turning gates and 60 gates. Our second course setter was Alec Glebov from Norway, and it was 56 gates and 60 gates again. Hard spring conditions, generally 3 degrees to 4 degrees first run, 8 degrees to 9 degrees second run. It's toasty over there. So
spring, spring has sprung.
Well, I mean, you look at the time and the start time's, you know, 12 o'clock. That does not help the situation. The start time for the first run is 9 and the second run was 12. So yeah. By 12 o'clock, like, things are getting super soft. 9 o'clock, things are getting soft at this point. The sun has been up for a couple hours. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like the conditions are going to remain. So, again, tons of salt being used on the course. That weird salty surface that we were talking about. And some people just don't ski well in that. And I think we're very surprised by some of these results. So let's talk. The first set, I have to say, favored the Norwegians. They kind of had a good time with this. I mean, they had 9th, they got 3rd, they got 6th. Like, I mean, they had a good time with that. And I mean, the only person who really didn't figure that one out was Timon Haugen, but he figured out the 2nd because he came in 2nd on the 2nd run.
Right.
But he didn't come in 2nd, but he had the 2nd fastest run anyway. So, I mean, what do you think about how this course kind of favored or didn't favor the athletes? Like, I mean, do you think that, I think that a lot of it was just like this tiny errors on the inside ski just were emphasized by the snow. Again, the longer turn, the patience that it takes when you're setting up on a salted course have a bit of a different implication than they would. You have less room, I think, for error in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the touch on the snow, right? So even the going over a little knoll, the touch is a little bit different than you would be aggressively skiing on the harder, faster, icier surfaces. So, and there, it's kind of more granular.
Yes.
Right. And like feeling underneath. So it's a totally different feel. And they really have to get the like hang of it going over those specific sections. So I think it does change the way an athlete skis.
I think it's also really interesting because, I mean, it takes experience, right, to understand that touch on this type of surface. And when you're not used to spring skiing on these types of surfaces, I think that that's going to work to your disadvantage. So I think that the surface, the hill was super easy, but I think the surface made it more difficult for these athletes. And I almost think that in Southern Ontario, because we deal with this all the time at this time of year, they're actually like, if you're used to lower altitudes or you've done lower altitude training a lot at this time of year, this is going to be more to your advantage. Whereas if like you're accustomed to getting to glaciers and so on and so forth. And I recognize that the Swiss did very well in this and Andorra did very well, but they're in high altitude countries. But I think that these sometimes are opportunities for the younger racers that are accustomed to these types of scenarios.
Do you think they're accustomed to it in Andorra?
Well, Andorra can get pretty warm. I mean, I've never been there. I know people have been there, so not gonna lie, like, I don't know a ton about Andorra. However, yeah, let's talk about our results. Thomas Tumer, Switzerland, 3rd place. 2nd, Andorra. He's got to be just over the moon.
So exciting. So exciting.
I'm going to say Johan Verdu, because So, and then Loic Maillard, Switzerland. So Loic had the 2nd fastest run, and then the 17th, his 2nd run was slower. And I think you see that because of maybe things getting softer, or I don't know. Like, it was getting pretty grooved up by the end there.
Well, it was, but the guy who won the first run ran into troubles and had a DNF, which rarely happens.
Yeah. It hadn't happened because he had won, like, what, 9 or 10 in a row at this point? Let's talk about Odermatt and how he did what none of us thought he would do.
He made a mistake.
He got twisted up. Yep.
Yeah. He got inside, and then as he's recovering from getting inside, he hooked an edge. Well, now you got to recover from being inside and hooking an edge, which you're almost doing the splits. And he just couldn't recover, and he just ended up going right underneath the next gate.
Yep. And there was no recovery whatsoever. He had no chance of getting out of that. So,
no.
It was definitely one of those things where no one expected it, and it was huge because it was his race to lose. He lost it. I say that all the time on this podcast, I know, but
yeah.
I think that, and I have to say, like, from an exciting perspective, yeah, definitely exciting to watch on that one. Like, that was,
yes,
not, I mean, and that's ski racing, and that's why ski racing is unpredictable and exciting, is because the best in the world can make that one little mistake and then you just never know who's going to actually win. So as much as, yeah, Marco Odermatt is the, I think, overall winner at this point and just kills it, I'm happy. Like, I'm not happy that he lost, but I'm happy for the sport that it wasn't as predictable as it could have been.
Right. Well, he did win his third straight GS Globe. He already had that wrapped up. However, yeah, I mean, Loic, he's been on his butt the last few races,
yeah,
right? So good for him for coming out with another win, especially by 0.71. That's pretty,
yeah,
solid.
Yeah, and wait for him to, like, to take it home on that last one, right? So, like, yeah, kudos. Right. And also, you know, it's also pretty, like, I'm sure he was, like, you know, pumping the fist of the sky, being, like, just so happy, yep, that, I mean, you never want your teammate to always go out, but he probably kind of did.
come on.
Sportsmanship only takes you so far when you get your ass, right, whipped like 10 races in a row, right?
That's right. Yep.
All right.
Indeed.
Let's continue on to our Sunday races, shall we?
Sure.
Before we do, let's thank Vocal Marker Del Bello, Holly Hansen, and Freshwater Distillery for all the lovely drinks, skis, and swag.
Thank you so much.
So the ladies' GS, same run as the men's, pretty boring, normal hill. Schneekristall Zwölfer, 1458. Finish altitude was 1060. Vertical drop is 398 meters. I don't know why it's slightly shorter, but whatever. Yeah, and then we had Niels Koberger from New Zealand as our course setter in the first, 49 turning gates, 52 gates. Course setter number two is Janne Harla, Norway, 51 turning gates, 53 gates. And the snow was spring conditions, 3 degrees, and then like potentially 9 degrees for the last run at the end on the loss. So it's the same as the day before. Really sunny, beautiful day. Would have been a great day to watch this with a glass of wine in your hand, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So,
I like the steepness of this course. Right out of the start, I'll back that up. Out of the start, it was nice, yes, and steep.
Yeah, and then it just flattens into chill.
And then it kind of got, you know, they had a few rolls in there, which were nice. They did get light over one of them. But at least they started with a steep.
I think that one roll was setters. The setters made that get light. Like the way that they set, yeah, that up, that was definitely something, yeah, you had the option of a setter to take out the air time that you could get in that. So yeah. I'm actually giving kudos to the setters for making this a little more challenging for finals and having fun with their sets a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I concur.
Yeah. First set was actually straighter. I don't know why this tends to be a theme, but
yeah,
definitely is a thing. We definitely had Brignone first run, just murdered it. You know, we had Thea Louise, Sjæthrestrand, she from Norway, just actually doing a really good job, and Alice Robertson coming in third. And then for second run, they just switched. So Thea Louise ended up in third, Alice Robertson in second, and Frederica Brignone in first. So, yep. And the people who ended up not finishing run two, just same mistakes. I think it was a lot of the snow surface that didn't allow them to recover, and just inside ski and out.
Yeah, pretty easy. And I think just the feeling is different, so it's a different type of recovery. But we're very happy to see Britt Richardson in the World Cup finals. So she is our only Canadian tech who made it into the slalom or the GS finals. And so yep, she got 18th.
Yeah, and junior world champ. So, and I have to say,
yeah,
that woman knows how to pole plant. She's like every single turn, she's making that little bit of a move forward with almost a double pole plant to kind of get herself in the right position to get into the next turn. So, obviously, some coach in her past did something well.
Yep. Yay. Recentering, very important, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Sarah Hector actually had an interview and she said that she didn't like the spring snow. I have to say, Yeah, there's a few people that did not like the spring snow at all, and others that did, and they were pretty vocal about it. I found that Holtman, actually, from Norway, she just, like, did the knuckle drag in the snow.
Oh my God.
Which was not hot. So it was a recovery move. It was like, I know half the athletes out there want a knuck drag. Not okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, Ted Ligge and, like, podiuming.
Right.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
And Robinson got twisted at the bottom, and I think it cost her first.
She actually was on her butt. Yeah. About halfway down, she got back. I mean, she's short, but I think her butt was on the snow.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't panic, thank goodness, but she did. She's just such a powerful skier.
Yeah, I actually was surprised. So Lara Goot, like, does not ski her normal self. Like, she did not put everything out on the hill. Like, she left something on that hill for sure. She was more conservative. She was a little behind the ski. Her line was a little later, and she wasn't clean as she normally was. And I was wondering if that was partially conditions. She didn't like the spring conditions. But someone who said that they liked the conditions, and she said, Brignone said, a bit bumpy, but, quote unquote, the slope is easy, and she likes the spring conditions.
Okay, well, Lara Goot, I don't think she had to finish.
Yeah.
She had to finish in the top 15. So to me, she was skiing to finish. That's all.
True.
She wasn't going for the win because she had to finish to wrap up that GS Globe, because if she didn't finish in the top 15, Brignone was going to win. So she just had to ski solid. I think it was tactics.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. I'll take your point, and I understand it, and I'll give it to you. I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think of that, and you can mark this down on your calendar as the day that I said that Wendy is right.
I already wrote it down.
I'm sure you did.
Big star.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Brignone made it very exciting right to the end. She's coming on strong at the end of the season there and put the pressure on Lara Goot, going, okay, well, Brignone, of course, she's going to go for the win, and she got it. She skied amazing. But Lara Goot, you know, the pressure was on her to finish. There's no pressure on Brignone.
I don't think any of those Italian ladies know how to turn it down. They're always at 11.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Now, Brignone, she did win the GS Globe back in 2020.
Yeah.
A few years ago. But this is the first ever GS Globe for Lara Goot, for Ami.
Yeah, good for her too. And I mean, they're just a year apart as well, so they're around the same age bracket. It's just I don't know. It's a fun. I thought the women's GS this year was actually a really fun circuit to watch.
Yeah, it was. It was exciting. It's fun to have the people out there. You know, But I was pretty happy for Alice Robinson. I mean, she's also come on strong this year again, because her potential has been there for so many seasons. And she hasn't quite gotten to her potential. So for me, coming in second, I mean, last race of the season, but I think she's going to do great things next year.
I think we can see a lot from her. I think she needs to learn a little bit more subtlety on the snow. But otherwise, I think she's got it. She needs to just get that experience and learn that touch a little more.
Yeah, exactly. And this was actually the very first Women's World Cup slalom in Saalbach since March of 1988, and I think I raced in that one. My friend Matea Savet, she was from Yugoslavia, she won it, but it's been a long time since there's been a GS there.
Oh, it just brings you right back, doesn't it?
I'm like, where was my hotel? I was trying to find it at the finish, and I really don't remember.
It might have been knocked down and rebuilt, who knows.
Maybe. So Lara Goot, so she wins the overall GS, Brignone in second. But she made it tight. So Lara Goot, she had 771 points. Brignone had 750. So pretty close. And third place overall was Sarah Hector.
Very, very close.
Richardson, 27th. Cassie Gray, 38th. And Val Grenier, even without racing, when she got injured there for a bit, she ended up sixth.
Yeah. No, it's impressive. Val Grenier was having a really good season. It's just too bad that happened. So. Yeah, well, we hope. And honestly, like, with this season full of injuries, like, just the best to everybody on recoveries, and, you know, get strong and get out there again. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we go to the men, and I have to say, this was such a fairy tale ending for me.
I was
I just started getting a little teary.
Yeah.
It might have been the PMS It might have been the victory.
Well, for me, it was definitely the victory.
Yeah, it probably
so
was.
So exciting. Yeah.
Just alienated three people in our audience. Your family's just turned it off. So this is on Uli Mare, the men's slalom. And Stefano Costazza, oh, I'm going to mangle that. It's Italy, 72 turning gates, 73 gates. And Wendy, you would die. Kevin Page, should I say, from France. Let's see, it was 72 gates, 72 turning gates, 74 gates. And it was same thing, 11 degrees by the end of the afternoon.
Wow.
It is après weather, my friend, après. First set, not as interesting. Second set, meh. The problem was the ruts really got a lot of these athletes, I think. And I also came to the conclusion that I finally know. So Manuel Feller, cut his hair this week for charity. Did you know that?
No, I saw the same bun on his head. It looked normal.
No, he cut it after his victory.
Oh, after. Oh, okay.
Well, he got second place. I'll give it away. But anyway, but he cut his hair. And I was a little sad because I was talking with someone. And I was like, oh, he reminds me of a Three Musketeer.
Yeah, okay.
with his facial hair and his hair. I was like, my favorite musketeer is now not anymore. But anyway.
Oh, no.
I know, right? This was a risky and exciting kind of race. Do you not think? Like, I didn't think that, the set was all that surprising. I thought it was the snow conditions that made it interesting.
I really liked the second set. There were a whole ton of verticals in there, right? And so, I don't know. I liked it. I actually liked the terrain on there.
I didn't think it was that exciting. I just thought that, you know, like the verticals were the verticals, but I didn't think there was like a ton. I mean, there's only so many they can set in order to actually meet like homologation standards. They both had 72 turning gates and 74 versus 73. So it wasn't like that bad.
So we had hairpins going into flushes, and then the hairpin and then the ender and then a flush and then like another flush. Anyway, I liked it.
There was only one flush that I was like, oh, that's more interesting. And I don't know. I didn't think it was, again, setter's choice to make it interesting, but I didn't think it was as interesting as it could be. And also the terrain I found to be a little lackluster, but I thought the snow conditions made it interesting because there's a little more offset. And so anytime you're on that inside ski, have fun recovering because it's going to be trouble for you.
Well, the only snow was on the race run and one other run beside it. Mm-hmm. So otherwise it was like green pastures. So they did a heck of a job in keeping the snow on that race run.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. So I found that, especially for the run two, I mean, you know, Haugen, we'll talk about Haugen last. Okay, so Linus Strasser, Germany, third. Manuel Feller, second. And Simon Haugen, first. His first podium or his first win ever. So I just, it was so nice. But Noel, I was a little surprised at. He really tends to struggle in the ruts. He doesn't like them. He says he doesn't like them. And he just, and I think that's exactly what happened. Because he was fourth in the first run, and then he ended up ninth for the second run. And that gave him a fifth overall. And that's hardly surprising for his lack of wonder and love for the spring skiing conditions.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Strasser, so he was second after the first run. He dropped down to third. He ended up 0.44 out. He did make a mistake about halfway down. It was almost like he was almost too far forward. And then there's a change of rhythm and it caught him. He got on his inside ski. He made a really good recovery, but you have to get back into the rhythm and back into the body position. He got inside again. He got backseat. He made a shit ton of mistakes. So I'm actually surprised he ended up in third.
I agree and disagree with you for a little bit on the technical side. So I think that he is someone who likes to be far forward because his hands, if you don't know, his upper body discipline is terrible. He's always dropping his hands behind him, especially the left hand. It costs him every single time. And every single time there's a combo that ends up starting with his left hand, it ends up costing him more because he's always trying to recover it for those faster kind of combos. And I And I, while I agree with he's too far forward, his hands actually bring him back. So he has to overcompensate by bringing that forward. I don't find that Strasser is, he's a great skier. He's amazingly fast. He's great with his feet for recoveries. But I think his upper body discipline and it is just the thing that really murders him, and especially on this type of course in these conditions. And I think the easier hill allows you to see some of those technical errors a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Congrats to Linus for getting third.
Yeah, yeah, way to go.
Way to go.
Nice job. Yep.
And Manny Feller, so second. This is his 12th year on the circus. circuit.
I did not know if he would finish the second run. He was risky. He really didn't like, he was just like really running it straight at times, really just all over the place, recovering left, right, and center. Like this, he wanted it, and at the same time, I don't know if I would want to win it like this, but he definitely, you know, pulled off that second place. So hey.
Well, he had never finished on the podium in a World Cup in Saalbach. Mm-hmm. In the previous one, it was way back in 2018, he got fourth. So, and won by Hirscher back in the day, of course he did. But he is, you know, he's actually skied pretty well. It was a solid, solid run. Ended up 0.40 out, but this was his first overall slalom globe to win.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. But can we talk about first place? Because brings the tear to my
Yes, head. Yes, yes. Let's talk about this young fella.
All right, Simon Haugen, Norway. Oh my God, such a great run. You know, did a dog leg at the top, like outside leg in the air, recovered it.
Yes, and did you see that?
What do you mean, did I see it? I just pointed it out.
it was exciting. The crowd was like, ooh, and I was like, ooh. And he was able to pull that leg back in and just keep on going. It was crazy.
Yeah, and he just like he kind of brought it together and really nailed the line on a lot of the combos, really smooth. And then but exciting in general, just you never knew what was going to happen. And I have to say, he came to the bottom and he couldn't believe his time and that he won it. And he started to cry and he put his
goggles down
and
he was trying to cry.
And then his buddies picked him up. It was like something out of a Hollywood movie. It was very sweet.
I know. I might have gotten a little emotional myself, but don't tell anybody.
All right. I won't tell anyone.
But you know what? What?
You know, I also noticed he's on the Van Deer ski, right? So they've got to be super happy.
Yes. Good promo right there. So he's had 3 second place finishes. Mm-hmm. He's so close. And I mean, the final race of the year, so exciting. But he was only halfway down, about 3/4 of the way down. He was only ahead by 2/100. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, last pitch, he nailed it.
I don't even know where he made it up because it didn't look as fast as it was. But I don't know. Maybe that serviceman is on his knees praying right now. I have no idea.
Doesn't matter who's praying, the guy won, and it was super, super exciting and emotional for everybody. So
And it's always nice to see, because on the circuit, everybody's kind of generally happy for each other, so they're all hugging each other. And his fellow teammates came out and, like, tackled him to the ground, and he just couldn't believe it. Yeah, like, wow. Yeah, such a and that, I think, was, for Tech, a great way to end the Tech series.
Yeah, very exciting. Having a different winner up there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I liked it. It was very exciting to watch.
Me too. Aww.
I wasn't crying. You're crying.
I know, right? Totally good at it. I'm a sucker for those types of things, and you know it.
And I am too, but don't tell anybody, like I said. So.
All right. I won't tell anyone.
Thank you.
Anyway, so the question is next week. So I've talked to a few people because of the warm conditions, and some people have asked whether the race is going to happen, but I have heard that yes, it will happen. That they think it's very probable that will happen unless some act of God gets in the way or something. So just so you know.
They have been keeping care of the terrain. They've been taking very good care of it and working hard at keeping that slope preserved for the speed event. So yeah, looking forward to those final races.
I mean, either way, it's going to be fast, but again, it doesn't look like the most challenging course ever. So again, I guess we'll see what happens next weekend and Saalbach for the finals, and then we have a lot of training and a lot of interviews to go over.
That's right, we do. It'll be fun.
Always fun with you, Wendy. Always.
Always fun with you, Shelley.
Mm-hmm. Trouble. All
right. Anyway, moving on. Well, that's all I got.
I know, it's all I got. So I guess for this week, I've been Shelley.
And I've been Wendy.
Keep your tips up.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. You're the table diver, not me. I've never avoided anyone so hard as you have. I can't believe you did that too. You left me with the most famous Austrian in Austria to just cover for you because you stuck under a table. I couldn't handle it. Talk about taking one for the team.
I'm under the table.
Not only were you under the table, you went under the table and then scooted out and ran away.
I ran to the bathroom.
I don't know where you went. All I know is I was stuck with the most famous Austrian in Austria, and everybody's staring at us because I'm like, he's like, where is Bendy? I was like, oh, you put me in some awkward positions. Covering for you.
Oh, I'd say I'm sorry, but I don't think I am.
You're totally not. You're so
funny shit.
Dude, so awkward. You should, like, if there was a camera on that conversation. And he was such a gentleman, but he knew what's up. Yeah. Goes for your sense of class, run away, and his sense of class, which is like just to address the issue and address it maturely with the person left at the table.
I couldn't. Oh, that wore me out. I'll be right back.